How can we live in terror before the day of the Lord and still be secure in God's love? Welcome to Probe. This is our last installment in the series of the Gospel, 1844, and Judgment. My conversation partners for one last time, Dave Thomas and Paul Dibdahl, thank you for your contributions.
Yeah, well, we've been at this a long time.
Yes.
We have, weeks and weeks and weeks. See, I'd like to put that question to you, the meaning of the judgment today, but the tension here between standing before the almighty creator of the universe, which seems to me should strike a certain terror to our hearts.
You like these radical words, Alden. You know, we got to soften it. Fear, maybe.
Oh, you think fear is better than terror?
I don't know. But...
Yeah. If you were in the presence of the...
Point well made. Next.
I'll just say a little something here. I think that in fact, on the day of... Maybe I shouldn't say the day of... Let me go back to where I was going to start originally, and that is some examples from Scripture. Over and over again in the Bible, you have good people, people who are described as upright, righteous. When faced even with an angel, merely an angel, their response is, across the board, it's one of fear. So I don't know that we'll be able to stop ourselves from that. And a clear conscience doesn't stop us from that sense of awe, which is in the Bible is described as fear. The part that I like is almost always the first words of the angel are,
Don't be afraid and get up,
right.
Get up on your feet.
Don't be afraid. So we have both of those things there, whether we want to call it fear or terror. But then, as your question, how can we still be secure in God's love? Those stories in Scripture help me.
Yeah.
Yes, I may be afraid, but what I need to remember, I need to, as best I can, tune my ear to what the angel may say to me, and that is, Paul, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
And somebody's pointed out that there, and you're right, Paul, you mentioned this, that there's not a single instance of a cheerful, happy response when the angel shows up.
Yeah, people don't run to the angel and hug the angel as a good buddy. They fall down, they are struck speechless.
Yeah. And that's quite a contrast with the view of angels today, this cute little cuddly creature that comes along and makes me feel happy.
Sure.
So there needs to be that sense of fear and awe. I'm an old man. In fact, this has been a very interesting discussion because I'm in my 60s, low 60s. Brother Thomas is
low
in
60s,
his...
emphasis.
Brother Dave is in his low 50s and you're high 30s. So that's, we're coming at this from three different perspectives. But my impression is that today's college students will talk a lot about the fear of the Lord and holiness and so on, but their behavior seems to be much more casual. Am I just imagining things? Is it just that I'm getting too ancient?
You're looking at me, and I'm farther and farther removed from most of today's college students. I'm not sure exactly how to respond to that. I guess I would share that perception, but I wonder how much of it is a generational, you know, looking through the dimming lens of age at the younger generation. I don't know.
There are certain traditions that continue on that symbolizes respect, but they're disappearing one by one.
Mm-hmm.
We no longer wear ties from a male perspective. We don't have to wear ties, church, and other people. White shirts and ties, when we were in Scotland. They even sent the pastor of one of the churches got an official reprimand from the church officials for wearing brown shoes in the pulpit.
Should have worn black ones?
Should have worn black ones.
Well, biblically, you could argue that he should have been barefoot, I suppose.
I suppose. Take your shoes off, Paul. Man, we've had too many of these recording sessions, Paul. You're getting up really frisky here. But I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with that?
Just the change.
The
symbols
change.
Of respect
the symbols
that
of
seem
respect.
To be fading here.
And what I think was the most striking of this is that when Dr. Sorensen came in as the interim president here before your dad came as the president of the college, he walked into the college church 20 years after it'd probably be 25 years after he'd been president, and saw the baseball caps. and was just horrified. Why, we don't do this in the church. And he was on the verge of asking the authorities of the chapel to check.
Have people take their hats off.
Have their people take their hats off. But I remember one case where, a few years ago actually, the spiritual vice president for the student body actually stood in the pulpit, week of prayer, with his baseball cap on backwards. Now, he still, the one vestige of respect, when prayer came, he still took it off.
Yeah, but I think that the issue here is the loss of a sense of the sacred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that especially as society has become less and less formal, and I think there are some dangers to a very formal society. I'm not advocating that. But as formal structures diminish and things become more common, the sense of the sacred disappears.
Mm-hmm.
What is there today that is sacred?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
How can a sense of the sacred, though, be legislated? I mean,
no, it cannot be. I think it arises from a sense of awe, and it strikes me that the word awesome is used a lot mm-hmm. today. But a feeling of euphoria is not. I mean, it's an element of awe, but. A much bigger element is a sense of being overwhelmed by the majesty and the grandeur of something,
mm-hmm.
and therefore being backing away and being kind of very humble and minuscule in your own appearance in the face of this grandeur. And that, I think, is the element that that is not present. And I think that you asked earlier about what the judgment means today, and I really wish that. In contemplating the judgment, that we would allow that contemplation. I think that contemplation, if we really understand the judgment in its full parameters, will produce a sense of awe. And I agree with you, Paul, that I like the way you began this, that every person who's met a divine being has been afraid, but they have been lifted up and told, don't be afraid. And yet at the same time, I believe that if you had to appear in court, well, even if you had to appear in court, you would have an element of fear. But if you had a pretty secure understanding that the judge was on your side because he knew that whatever wrongs you had done, you had made amends for, and that he was going to be gracious, that the fear you had would be very different than if you were going in there as a rapscallion of some kind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give another illustration here. We talked about a police officer is not the same thing as a judge, but there's a carryover there. Here in the city of College Place, there is a police officer who is a relative through marriage of mine. Now, although I consider myself a law-abiding citizen, I still, if I see a police officer driving behind me, there's an element of fear, concern that is there in my heart. Unless I can see clearly, and I do this now, I look to see who is it that is in the car. And if I know that it is this person who is, I've eaten at their home, they're related to me, they're family, they still will enforce the law. I still will not then just speed or do anything. But there is a difference that takes place in my heart when I have a relationship with the one who is in that position.
Now, why does that make a difference, Paul? I'm interested in that. Why? Because you think if you did get stopped, you could talk your way out of it?
No.
Oh.
No. In some ways, it almost makes me want to be more careful in driving around College Place because I don't want to put that person in the position of needing to.
Yeah, having to apply.
Yeah, and I think there's a sense in which I think this applies with God as well. If you have a relationship with God, then you do not want to disappoint God.
Yeah, and especially if you see the judgment as one aspect here is the exoneration of both human beings and God, then that dimension you talk about, I think, is very powerful. You know.
Now, if you apply this in the judgment, gospel judgment type of thing, I have a fascinating story here. I read somewhere that the more brutal American approach to law enforcement, symbolized by flashing lights and guns and everything else, which is quite a contrast to the old traditional British approach, where they were
gentlemanly.
Gentlemanly, right. That what happens was, it came around, the police chief in Los Angeles many years ago discovered that when the police were friendly, they could easily be bribed. And so they got this distance, you see, which just makes a huge difference. Now, we went to Scotland, and we had a hard time getting our insurance and license. When I first went there, they asked me how many tickets I'd had in the last 5 years. I said, 3. Oh, Mr. Thompson, we couldn't give you insurance. I said, what do you mean? That's a good record in the States. Well, we finally got it. But then sometime later, after I had my British license, we were nipping into town rather more quickly than we probably should have been. And a car was coming up the hill flashing his lights. And that can mean just about anything. What I found out in just a few minutes, that there were a couple of portable
radar units.
Yeah, two policemen with a portable radar unit in the town were narrowed down. And I got pulled over. Man, I got to thinking of all my fine speeches. And when they came up, they asked to see my driver's license. They said, Mr. Thompson, we see you're a visitor here. We don't want you to worry at all about this. Nothing's going to happen. We just need to make note of a couple of things. Have a good day. I was so impressed by that that I said, you know, if these guys are going to be that decent about it, I think I'm going to be much more careful about their laws.
Yeah.
I actually wrote that up for the Signs of the Times magazine, but one of my former students wrote in, that's not really grace unless the policeman had gone down and paid the penalty. There are some people, that's why the sacrifice of Christ for some people is so important, because they recognize that if you just let somebody off the hook, that it does tend to diminish things.
Yeah, it does in one way, but at the same time it does tend to have a very sobering effect that it falls on the person willingly.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. So we've come to the end. Two dangers I think that we address in human beings: carelessness and discouragement. It seems to me as we look to what God wants us to do, those are the two great evils, and we're probably not all tempted in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a message for some one person would be overkill. For the other one, it wouldn't even be enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Paul's statement to the Corinthians, what do you want me to come to you? With love? With a stick? Or with love in the spirit of gentleness?
Yeah, equitable treatment does not always mean equal treatment.
That's right.
Yeah.
So knowing how to deal with people differently, to encourage them. Again, one of my favorite quotations from Ellen White. She says to a brother, you need to educate yourself that you may have wisdom to deal with minds. Mm. You should with some have compassion, making a difference. While others you may say with fear, snatching them out of the fire. Our Lord frequently leaves us in uncertainty in regard to our efforts.
Mm.
And it's that uncertainty where you don't absolutely throw the book at people. No, I'm doing the best that I can. I may have made, you see, that kind of attitude among people is very helpful. And we see shades of that certainly when God came down here and died for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you to both of you for your assistance over these last few weeks, and to Susan Michael for her good work as program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For Probe, I'm Alton Thompson.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.